fancies himself as a fool for a client. Well, with God as my witness, I am that fool.
Oh, my.
Light bulb.
It's a man, baby.
It's got to be the king.
Hey. Happy Monday to you. Good morning. And welcome into the 1 week away from Christmas Eve edition of The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, keeping you company for the next hour as we explore our little world of life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth and absurdity on this little podcast we call The Daily Perspective. Glad to have you along. Thank you so much for listening, wherever you may be listening from, whether it be from somewhere in Europe or somewhere in the Pacific or somewhere in between, anywhere in the world. Thanks a lot for being there. I really do appreciate it. Well, here we are. We are a week away from Christmas Eve, and all I can hope is that your Monday is going very well, that you are having a great day, and that you've got all your Christmas shopping done. And you know, every time I say that, I have to laugh because I know you. No, you haven't got your Christmas shopping done. Oh my. I was going mentally through my checklist this morning and realized there's actually one little thing I do need to go grab. And I was being pretty smug about it over the weekend. Yeah, mine's all done. It's all under the tree. Everything's wrapped. And then here in my studio, I stumbled across a shopping bag that I had put on my work table across the way where my video editing stuff is. And I realized, oh yeah, that's for so-and-so. Oh nuts. I was going to go pick this other thing up. And so I've still got to go out and get amongst the insanity and go pick up one more thing, just one more thing. And I've got to get it done and wrapped and ready by this weekend because this person it is for is someone I'll see on the weekend. So I'm sad. I'm kind of in the same boat you are, but I'm not one of those people who will wait until Christmas Eve and hit the Quickie Mart on the way home. I'm not going to be doing that unless it's to buy batteries. Do you remember that as a kid? You'd get something. See, gosh, I'm dating myself now, but I remember very vividly a Christmas day when I was a little guy that my mom and dad took my brother and myself, took us out on Christmas Day searching for some place that had batteries. Now today that's not such a big issue because we have drilled it into ourselves for so long that if you buy something that needs batteries, make sure it either has batteries in the package or you have batteries to include. And a lot of families will put, you know, they'll gift wrap a little bunch of batteries and drop them in the Christmas stocking or something like that to go with the item that's under the tree. And that's something that we have done over the years. But I remember a Christmas day long, long ago when long time ago when my mom and dad bundled my brother and I up and my brother and myself up and we got in the car on the search for batteries on Christmas Day. Had to have some D-cells on Christmas Day. And I remember that we found them at like a little gas station. It was a little gas station in Evergreen, Alabama, in Kanaka County. And it's funny that my wife and I drove through Evergreen a couple of weekends back on our way back from Pensacola, just to stir the memory pot a little bit. And I actually passed by this place where this gas station was. It's not a gas station anymore. It's been changed into something else. But I remember that spot. We passed by it, and I went, "Oh wow! I remember getting batteries there on Christmas Day." But it used to be that you had to make sure you have the batteries. And hopefully, maybe I've jogged somebody's attention a little bit and you realized, oh, you know, I bought that thing. It's under the tree and there are no batteries. Put that on the checklist for today. So today, make sure you get those batteries. And don't go cheap. Come on, man. Don't go cheap. Depends on what you need it for. Energizers are good for some things. Duracells are good for other things. Wow, I just slid right off into nerd world there. But it's true. If you want it to run for a long time, but a longer time, but the power level is not all that important, how bright the lights are and all that stuff, energizers are the way to go. If you want it to run at its peak efficiency, peak power, for as long as possible, then Duracells are the way to go. They're formulated differently. And yes, I know this because I fussed for years at people about buying batteries for wireless microphones in certain installations, places that I worked, and I had to fuss at them. Don't buy the Energizers for the... Don't buy Energizers for your wireless stuff. Just don't! Because they come off peak voltage faster, and they fail. The batteries are still good for a lot of other things, but you can't use them in the wireless mics. Just don't! Anyway, so I have gone down a really weird alley there, and I apologize. But here we are, a week away from Christmas Eve, and hopefully you've got plans for the week, and hopefully you've got everything, or most everything, done. Maybe like me, you're remembering that one other thing you didn't get done, and now you need to. Well, it's been a woolly weekend. I don't know about where you are, but as I look out the studio windows here, you can barely see across the street now. We have so much fog where we are. And in the news, it's been foggy as well. There's been a lot of talk about a young girl, a little girl who passed away in Border Patrol custody late last week. And there's been a lot of misinformation and disinformation and clutching of pearls and gasping and assigning blame for that. And we'll look into that in just a couple of minutes here. Mike Huckabee, a man I have met who I like, he's a good guy, has written an article about Nancy Pelosi cutting a deal. We'll take a look at that. The war on Christmas. You know, there's a lot of buzz about there being a war on Christmas. And there are those who say, oh, come on, that's just stupid. And there are those who swear there is a war on Christmas. Well, they're trying to make a certain person who's associated with Christmas gender neutral. We'll take a look at that. And Starbucks, you remember their bathroom policy they instituted a while back where they would no longer require that you purchase something from them in order to use their restrooms? We'll see how that's working out for him as the show continues. But first, let's take a look at what happened with this young girl who died in Border Patrol custody. First, a look at the facts. Matt Walsh wrote an article. We won't go into the whole article here. I want to pull some points out of it. The facts that relate to the matter. This young lady passed away only hours after she entered government custody. Reportedly, she had not been given anything to eat or drink for days beforehand. According to a Border Patrol form, which was signed by her father, apparently, the girl was showing no signs of trauma or distress when she was initially detained. Hours later, she started vomiting. When she stopped breathing, she was revived by medics and airlifted to a hospital in Texas. She died at that hospital despite desperate efforts to save her life. And your friends on social media, your liberal friends on social media, have probably spent the entire weekend blaming President Trump for this. Blaming the Border Patrol. Finding ways to tie it to ICE. Talking about the wall and how inhuman it is, and look, it's killing people. And the like. And I just want you to know that these people who are making these claims are disconnected from reality. That they're getting their information and whipping up their emotions with talking points coming out of the left, which have very little basis in reality or truth. The national media has been giving a lot of coverage to this tragic story. 7-year-old migrant girl, named Jacqueline Kyle. She died within hours of being discovered and taken into custody by the Border Patrol after she and her father entered illegally with a large group of other migrants. That's our first point here, that she and her father entered our country illegally. They were on our soil as foreigners, as invaders, as people who did not come here through the approved government programs, not seeking asylum, not seeking to become a citizen. They came here illegally and crossed our border illegally into our country. That's one thing that's very important in this consideration. It's very important. Some of the media have been blaming the Border Patrol, trying to attack the Trump administration for this tragic death, despite there being no evidence that the Border Patrol did anything wrong. And now that narrative is taking a rather large hit, because the father of this little girl is talking. According to CNN's Jake Tapper, Guatemalan counsel Tacandi Paniagua, told CNN the father of Jacqueline has no complaints about how the Border Patrol agents treated him and his daughter, and that the agents did everything they possibly could to help the girl when they were on the bus. The father also confirmed to the consul that the DHS timeline was correct, that Jacqueline did not show any signs of distress until about 5 a.m., then deteriorated rapidly when they were placed on the bus to ride from the border checkpoint to the Border Patrol station, where the nearest help from the remote area was 95 miles away. And Jake Tapper took to Twitter, and he posted in three separate tweets. Guatemalan consul Tacandi Paniagua tells CNN he met extensively with the father of 7-year-old Jacqueline Kyle Makin Friday night in El Paso. They say the father of Jacqueline has no complaints about how Border Patrol agents treated him and his daughter. The consul says the father told him that the agents did everything they possibly could to help the girl on the bus. And finally, the father, per the consul, confirmed the DHS timeline that Jacqueline did not show any signs of distress until about 5 a.m. when they were placed on the bus to ride from the border checkpoint to the Border Patrol station 95 miles away. Now, it is shameful that people on the left, like Beto O'Rourke, Chuck Schumer, and Hillary Clinton, all ganged up and attacked the Border Patrol and the Trump administration over this. O'Rourke, who is a presidential hopeful now after being defeated in Texas by Ted Cruz, even blamed the wall for killing people. It's just sad. Chuck Schumer posted on Twitter, "A 7-year-old girl should not be dying of dehydration and shock in Customs and Border Protection custody. Secretary Nielsen and DHS Gov must be held accountable for Jacqueline Kyle McKean's death." Well, how about Democrats discourage people from taking such dangerous journeys and encourage them to follow the legal path so this doesn't happen again, rather than encouraging this dangerous situation and having more children put in danger? You see, this young woman's death, this young girl's death, is completely on the hands, her blood is on the hands of the leftists, the Democrats, who have paid money to spread the propaganda that these people should come to America and seek asylum. If we were deterring this kind of activity with a wall, with any other form of severe border enforcement, if the consequences of crossing the border were dire, and they were severe, we would discourage people from doing this, and things like this would not happen. They've been all up in arms about families being separated, children being separated from their parents. That would not be happening if it were not for the fact that there has been a lot of propagandizing, a lot of misinformation spread to Central American countries, telling people, come here, come to America, ask for asylum. They've been trained, they've been coached, they've been given the information they need in order to qualify to the letter of the law, so that they end up getting on a docket, they get a court date, and then they disappear in our country. If we stop that and we make it uncomfortable in a rather severe way to cross our border, then we'll greatly diminish the amount of tragedy, the tragic things that are happening. And it's the Democrats who see these people as potential future voters who are encouraging this because they know they can't win on the merits of their positions and their policies. They have to stack the deck, and these people are who they're stacking the deck with. So this all falls at the feet of the Democrats. Don't forget that. It's horrible, but it's their fault. More when the Daily Perspective continues. You're listening to the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. Thanks for listening.
You really can't stay.
Just have to tweak the liberals a little bit. You know what? All the fuss over this song has been so ridiculous. You can actually look at the original. Let's see. There was an Esther Williams movie years and years back in the 40s. Ricardo Montalban and, oh, now I can't remember the woman's name, the actress's name. They do this whole scene where he's flirting, she's flirting, but every time they hit the chorus, when they hit those words, it's baby, baby, it's cold outside, they sing together. And they look at each other. They look into each other's eyes. So from the very beginning, the song was about two people who were exchanging in the age-old dance of flirting with one another. And it's that's what it's about. And for them to make it into something like a date rape or whatever is just ridiculous. It's absolutely ludicrous. But there we are. Hey, something that's not ludicrous is signing up for the Daily Perspective newsletter. Have you done it yet? Hey, make it a New Year's resolution. That's coming up pretty soon, just a couple of weeks away, when you get on board with the Daily Perspective. That way you get the Daily Show's notes in your inbox every day. That way you can listen to the show, and you can also get the notes that I refer to during the show while we're talking about various things. For example, there are two different links, two different stories I referred to when talking about the young girl who passed away after illegally immigrating into the country. There are two different ones that I referred to. You get the links to both of those stories and the entirety of their content, which I didn't get through with because there were two different stories. So I just pulled some from each in order to put it all together for you, but you get to see all of it that way. Plus, I'm looking at my list of my stack right now. I'm looking at the stack, and I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably 6 stories I won't get to today. I may use some of them tomorrow. I may not, but I have a lot of stuff stacked up that you get to see that nobody else does, because when I post show notes on social media later on and on our websites later on, I won't include the rest of the stack, but you'll get it if you subscribe to the Daily Perspective newsletter. Plus, you'll also get missives and rants and raves and things like that from time to time as my twisted little mind starts thinking about something and my fingers start typing. So get signed up today. Go to either one of the social media pages on Facebook, the Mark and Mac Show or the Daily Perspective pages, and click the sign up button and start the process. You can also go to markandmacshow.com or markcongleton.com, and there are sign up forms on those websites. Either way, get signed up today and start getting the Daily Perspective in your inbox. Well, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats spent a lot of time and a lot of money during the midterm campaign making promises and making assurances to people. They told them a lot of things that reasonable people, people who are honest with themselves, recognize as being just your typical campaign lies. And now we're starting to see exactly where they're coming from. Now, people like myself, those of us who are on the conservative side in the media, have been talking about the fact that you can't trust politicians when they're campaigning. They will say whatever their consultants tell them they need to say in order to sway opinion and get votes. And after the election, We have seen it time and time and time, actually for my entire lifetime, most likely your entire lifetime, as long as you've been paying attention to politics, you have seen things transpire, such as, read my lips, no new taxes. I picked that one because that was a Republican, George H.W. Bush, who swore he would not raise taxes. There would be no new taxes. He would find a way to accomplish what needed to be done without further burden on the people. And not long after he was elected, I got to raise taxes. He broke his promise. And we've had other politicians do the same thing. I've worked the hardest I've ever worked in my life on this, but there's no way I can get around it. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to raise some taxes here and here. It happens every time. And often we're told by politicians that they're very concerned about certain things, that it's a top priority for them, but when they get in office, suddenly they forget about all that stuff. Well, voters, according to this opinion piece written by Mike Huckabee, came out last Friday, voters already are learning that everything Democrats said to get Americans to vote for them was a lie. Of course, they're going to launch endless money-wasting, vindictive, partisan investigations of political enemies. Of course, they're going to vote to impeach President Trump for the high crime of beating them in 2016, no matter how much it harms the economy and job creation. And of course, they're going to try to raise taxes, jack up spending, increase government, bring back pork barrel vote buying and favors for special interests, and try to take away your guns, free speech, and religious freedoms. Anyone who voted for them expecting something different must feel a lot like Charlie Brown lying on his back after Lucy yanked away the football for the 247th time. Some of us are immune to Democratic promises that this time they've changed, having lived through that spiel too many times before. Like the 2006 election, when Nancy Pelosi swore that the party had learned its lesson and they were no longer ideologically driven tax and spenders, but would be fiscally responsible and pro-business. Americans fell for it, like Charlie Brown. She became speaker, and 1 year later, the deficit was 2.5 times bigger. Now, add one more broken promise to the list. Despite all that hot gas about demanding new leadership from both the young progressive firebrands and the faux moderate centrist Democratic candidates, just as you've been told for ages, it's virtually a certainty that Representative Pelosi will be the House Speaker again. I've told you, you know, she's already bought the new larger gavel. Wednesday, she gained more votes from Democrats by agreeing to a term limit deal that would hold her to 4 years as Speaker, so she would have to step down in the year 2022. The part that goes unsaid, in 2022, she'll be 82 years old and might actually want to leave anyway. Also, the deal doesn't include the time she's already served as Speaker, so her 4-year limit will actually let her serve 8 long years as Speaker. Finally, if you really think that after another 4 years of digging in and solidifying her power that she's going to be held to any 4-year oral agreement to step down, you're delusional. Just like Lucy said to Charlie Brown, funny thing about this document, it was never notarized. In fact, there's only one way to keep Nancy Pelosi from being Speaker of the House from now until they carry her out feet first, if that's what she wants. That is for Americans to come to their senses and save their country by voting the Democrats far out of power again in 2020. Even then, if you think she won't become the House Minority Leader again, well, I have a football I'd be happy to hold while you kick it. And that's Huckabee's article. And he's right on the money. He's just right on the money. Pelosi and the rest are making deals, have been making deals. They're making promises, and they won't fulfill them. She'll be 82, as the article says. She'll be 82 when that 4-year promise period wraps up. I pointed out the other day, Dianne Feinstein is 84. I believe she's 84, either 84 or 85. So Nancy Pelosi being in her upper 70s, Dianne Feinstein being in her mid 80s, what drives people to stay in office that long? Dianne Feinstein, for example, she's very wealthy. So is Nancy Pelosi, for that matter. You would think that as a normal, rational, average, everyday American, if you were in their shoes, you would have retired by now. You would have packed your bags, packed up your office, headed home, and lived off your investments and your deals that you've made over your career. You'd be spending time with the grandbabies. You'd be taking some of that wealth that you've amassed, and you'd be doing what you could to make their lives better and brighter. Building a foundation for their futures. But no, these people are running for office again. Dianne Feinstein in her mid-80s just ran and was reelected. So what motivates someone to do that at that age? They're either flat broke and just wealthy on paper. They owe someone big favors. Or they're addicted to the power and control. It's one of those options. I'm voting for option C, by the way. It's the power and control. More in a moment on The Daily Perspective. You're listening to The Daily Perspective. I just noticed, I looked over at my Christmas music today, and all of the Christmas tunes that are playing are by the group Active Congress. It's just, I joked about it in the notes, by the way, if you're on Facebook Live, thanks for being there, and for the chat. There's an ongoing chat that happens during the show, and I commented about, if it weren't for the computer automation, I'd be late every day. Well, the computer automation is set up to pick the tunes that play, the bumper tunes. And for some reason, today it just thought, wow, I like that band Act of Congress. I got to play that. So for some reason, that's what it's playing today. All of the Christmas music is Act of Congress. Oh, man. Let's see here. I just completely derailed myself because I got distracted by that. I got a couple of bizarre little stories here. First up, I have to take a break from the serious, the news stories, because if you don't, you lose your perspective on life. This is the absurdity part of the show. Yeah, I talk about we're in a daily pursuit, on a daily pursuit for life, liberty, and absurdity. And truth, too, but also absurdity. Well, this is part of the absurd part. There's this parrot in the UK. Now, I read the story about this parrot getting kicked out of the National Animal Welfare Trust sanctuary not too long ago. And the reason it got kicked out was because it's a potty mouth parrot. This parrot has a really nasty mouth. Well, this parrot is back in the news again because it has figured out it can carry on conversations with Amazon Alexa. And in the process, he tends to order items while his owner is not home. It's an African gray. That's a lovely parrot. It's an African gray. An African gray parrot named Rocco reportedly learned how to use Alexa to order watermelon and strawberries. He also attempted to order some light bulbs, ice cream, even a kite. Now, Marion Wisniewski, who works at the sanctuary, adopted Rocco after he was removed from the sanctuary for his foul language. Foul, I mean, not foul, foul, as in potty mouth. She told the Daily Mail she has to check her account every day to see what the parrot's done. She said, I have to check the shopping list when I come in from work and cancel all the items he's ordered. Along with using the device to order things, Rocco also uses Alexa to listen to music and reportedly is a big fan of the band Kings of Leon. Miss Wishniewski, that's her name. Wow. She says, they chat away to each other all day. Often I come in and there's music playing. Well, fortunately, none of Rocco's orders go on to be purchased thanks to the parental lock that she's put on the account. So the parent can't actually finalize the orders. But that's actually really a scream to me. It's absolutely hilarious. But this woman has sat down. Can you imagine getting home from work one day and you're thinking, oh, I need to order that thing from Amazon. They can have it here in a couple of days. Wait a minute. Who's been ordering watermelon? Wait a minute. Who ordered the strawberries? Hold on. Light bulbs, ice cream? Who needs a kite? Wait a minute. Oh, my gosh. That's really funny. I came really, really, really close to buying an African gray one time. And parrots are expensive pets. They're very expensive, but they're extremely, extremely intelligent animals. And they live a long, long time. So you can have a parrot for a pet for decades. And there are lots of cases where parrots outlive their owners. It's almost the opposite of dogs, you know, where dogs have short lifespans. Parrots have long lifespans. I really, really thought about buying a parrot. And it was an African gray. And I would go by the pet store every day and spend a little bit of time with this thing and try to figure out how I could scrape together the money to buy it, because it was hundreds of dollars to buy this thing at the time. They're very expensive animals, as I said. And I finally talked myself out of it because I was looking at the cage and the area around it and realized, man, it's a dirty pet. They're very, very dirty pets. They create a mess. As parrots, there's no such thing as potty training a parrot. They just know wherever they are is their toilet. And I decided, no, that's our house is not going to be an animal's toilet. That's just not it. That's why we don't have cats anymore. But, and I know I'm going to get some hate mail for that. And I'm sorry. Some people are cat people. Some people are not cat people. I grew up with cats around the house all the time. They were always outdoor animals. We very rarely had issues with them indoors because they lived outdoors. And if it was cold, we brought them in. If they wanted to come in, they came in. But then they would start yowling to go outside, and we knew why, and they'd go. But later in life, as we had, Jane and I had cats, and we would, you know, we ended up having a couple that were not outdoor cats. I mean, that was just out of the question. We couldn't let them go outdoors. And they decided to make the litter box was an option, not the only option. And after a while of that, we decided, we just can't do this anymore. And we ended up becoming dog people. But with a bird, oh, my word. It's your whole house. Your whole house is their toilet. Oh, my gosh. At any rate, amazing animals. And if you are a bird lover, good for you. I just go for it, because I love them. I love other people's parrots. I still, honestly, would love to have one. But I just, you know, my house is not an animal's toilet. Not going to be. All right. In other wacky news, we heard last week the stories about the first transgender Miss Universe contestant. I don't know that we talked about it here. I don't think we did. But it was in the news. Her picture was in the news. His picture was in the news. I'm sorry. I don't care what you do. You're still a guy. The DNA doesn't lie. Angela Ponce, Spain's Miss Universe. The hopeful from Spain. Pageant's first ever transgender contestant. Unable to capture the crown Sunday night. So last night, nope, she didn't win. She couldn't have cared less. She said, I don't need to win Miss Universe. I only need to be here. She didn't even make the top 20, by the way. This year's title wound up going to the Philippines' Catriona Gray, one of the early favorites. But that didn't stop pageant officials from giving Ponce a chance to speak about her history-making inclusion during a special pre-recorded segment. She said, "I'm here to represent diversity of humans in the world. My hope is for tomorrow to be able to live in a world of equality for everyone, simply for us all to understand that we are human and that we must all make all of our lives easier together, that reality for humanity is going to change." Messages of support were pouring in Sunday on Twitter after her exit. One user wrote, "The tribute to Miss Spain was so beautiful. You may not win the crown, but you've already won and captured our hearts." Speak for yourself. The 66-year ban on transgender Miss Universe contestants officially ended in 2012, but nobody ever made it through to the final competition until she did. The 27-year-old Ponce managed to advance back in June after beating out 22 others for the title of Miss Spain. Under the new rules, women who compete in the Miss Universe pageant are now only required to be unmarried and without children. They must also be between the ages of 18 and 28. So the fact that she's actually not really a woman doesn't matter. The fact that she looks like a woman is all that matters. And I'll go back to what I said before. The DNA doesn't lie. You can fool yourself. You can spend all that money. You can go through the surgeries and take the hormone treatments, and you're going to stay on drugs for your entire life. Just be aware of that. You're going to stay on some sort of medication your entire life because your body is not naturally producing what it needs to maintain the illusion of being female. That's just the bottom line. That's just the fact. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is.
It's a man, baby.
And it always will be a man, baby. The DNA doesn't lie. The bottom line is this is a mental issue. It is an issue of delusion. There are medical terms for this. And there are people in psychology, in medicine, who will tell you that all of this push for acceptance is only encouraging more people to embrace something that is not reality. And the people who are honest, telling you the truth, will tell you that the incidence of suicide among those who have gone through this entire process in the hopes of finding peace, the incidence of suicide is very, very high. Because after all of the treatments, after going under the knife, after the surgery, after the transformation, after everything is said and done, they still haven't found what they're looking for. And holding people like this Miss Spain in the Miss Universe contest, holding Miss Ponce up as an example, is dangerous. It's delusional. It's reinforcing a fantasy. And sadly, so many people will be fooled by this. They'll be swayed by this. And they'll push forward in that effort to find the peace that they're looking for, that they'll never find. It doesn't matter how much money they spend on surgeries and medications. The DNA will still be the same. Because medical science has proven long ago that there are only two genders, and that fooling yourself into believing you are not what you were born usually ends up badly. And that's very sad. Is there a war on Christmas? Could be. Who's the latest victim? We'll take a look at that next on The Daily Perspective.
Outside, the snow is falling and friends are
Well, no fog. Well, no snow here, but hopefully you'll get some snow. Wouldn't that be nice? I think it'd be nice. All righty, moving along here. Is there a war on Christmas? Well, culturally speaking, I think there is. Just like there is a war on many items of faith, of the faith life. Those who believe. We don't believe in Santa Claus. I mean, the whole Santa Claus thing, yeah, that's all based on a guy named, you know, it was a real guy. St. Nicholas. They're, you know, it's all based on that. But, and it's become a marketing thing. And the image that we have of Santa Claus, the jolly old St. Nick guy, you know, it comes from advertising. But the, excuse me, the war on Christmas is all about it being a celebration of a Christian belief. And I'm not going to get into an argument with you about it's, you know, about Saturnalia and, you know, and the winter, you know, a winter festival being adopted by Christianity and all that. It's just that actually is pointless. What it all comes down to is that Christians celebrate the birth of Christ. And whether or not they have it at the right time of year or not, whether historically speaking it's accurate or not, doesn't really matter. The bottom line is a day was adopted to celebrate a certain event. And because it is a Christian event, there are those who have taken it upon themselves to be evangelists for, or actually evangelists preaching against all things Christian. They've decided to just wage war against it. And of course, there are those who have misinterpreted our Constitution and our founders' writings to mean that we can't celebrate Christmas or other Christian holidays, other Christian days, in any way, shape, or form associated with government. These people are either ignorant of, willfully ignorant of, or, you know, the fact that in the early days of our country, those who worked hard to found our country actually wrote that they were very pleased to see state houses being used as gathering places for churches. The churches actually held their services inside state houses until such a time that they could build their own. So, if that was the attitude back then, at the very beginnings of our nation, back when they were very well aware that their intent was that they would prevent a government from establishing a religion and using it to manipulate and control people, which is what they came from in Europe. If they saw the use of a state house by a third party for their religious services as a threat, you think they would have allowed it to happen? No, they wouldn't have. Well, let's shift gears and go back to St. Nick. It is the time of year for that jolly, fat, bearded guy to bounce into your house with toys for all the good kids on the Christmas list. But just like we've seen happen recently with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Baby, It's Cold Outside, progressives want to give you coal in your stocking. Not satisfied with the tradition of a male Santa, the perpetually aggrieved, I like that, the perpetually aggrieved now want Santa to be gender neutral. Never mind the fact that Santa Claus is based on St. Nicholas, a man, not a myth. Fox 5 in D.C. is reporting this. Will the future phase of Christmas be gender neutral? According to a new survey, some say yes. The survey, conducted by logo design company Graphic Springs, asked 400 people for suggestions on how to rebrand Santa to make him more modern. The company says some of the most popular responses, like should Santa go on a diet or should he carry an iPhone, were then voted on by 4,000 respondents across the UK and the US. One of the most interesting questions was, if you could rebrand Santa for modern society, what gender would he be? Well, the folks at Lad Bible noted that many were angered when two women volunteered to play Santa. The furor started when news dropped that two women had volunteered to play Santa as part of a festive tour in Newton Aycliff, County Durham. I know the horror! Labor Councillor Aaron Chandran wasn't in favor of having a jolly St. Nicola, saying there is no shortage of male volunteers to act as Santa Claus, so we should not permit a female volunteer to perform the role. My understanding is that Santa Claus, otherwise called Father Christmas, is a male role. Even Piers Morgan lashed out, because he always does, saying exasperatedly on Good Morning Britain, Father Christmas, as his name suggests, is male. Father Christmas, for all of time, has been Father Christmas. He's called Father Christmas, he exclaimed before screwing up the paper in his hands. The world's gone nuts, he said. Well, yeah. Santa Claus is based on a man and has been a man for his entire history. Could we stop making everything that is masculine a crime? Could we stop attempting to change everything that's traditional to appease a minority of naysayers? Wait, did we say minority? It is still a minority of people who want Santa to be gender neutral, but that number is 27%. More than a quarter of respondents want a gender neutral Santa. This is what you call peak insanity. 27% think Santa, of the 4,000 surveyed, I should say, think Santa should be gender neutral. This is one of those stop the world, I want to get off moments, you know, because here we have St. Nicholas, Father Christmas, as our British friends would say, who now the politically correct want to make gender neutral. You remember the character Pat from Saturday Night Live? They want Pat to be Santa. Just can't tell whether it's male or female. It's got to be gender neutral. Because we don't want to offend anybody, really. Listen, when the people you're offending are mentally deranged, do you really have much to worry about? Not in my book, you don't. Because crazy is as crazy does, if I may paraphrase Forrest Gump's mama. And I think also this applies. Stupid is as stupid does. Because these people are doing stupid things. Stupid things. Stupid, stupid, stupid. This is the kind of thinking that brought about Starbucks bathroom policy. You know, we talked about that a few months ago. 7 months back, Starbucks declared that their bathrooms were open to the public without the need to purchase their products. Now data is suggesting that the virtue signaling isn't working out as well as hoped. A New York Post team investigated several Manhattan bathrooms and found that there wasn't an open stall. A half dozen toilets were locked, barricaded, no clear reason. Others were closed for prolonged cleaning. An insider said the cleaning was needed after extreme soiling caused by drug-using incontinent vagrants. Letting everybody in has resulted in nobody getting in, one employee said. Signs at one location said restroom closed. And in another branch, they blocked the restroom with garbage cans. Furniture and boxes formed a barrier at another location. Rope, traffic cones, other things. They're blocking off their restrooms now at Starbucks locations. Because what's happening is that this policy is allowing drug users to come in. Needles. The people who are working in Starbucks are now having to take antibiotics and get injections and the like to prevent from being infected by dirty needles in the restrooms. This is the insanity that's coming from the left. You must be welcoming, inclusive, and open to everyone regardless of how insane that is. And it is insane. And that's enough insanity from me today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow on The Daily Perspective. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
This is you over 30 years ago.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
And this is your mom now.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.